So welcome to Two Crees in a Pod. We are starting season 6, episode 1. And this season we're going to be talking about stories from the north. And so for our first episode, we have Nika and Deborah Silverfox. And so we would like you to open it up with an introduction of who you are.
Zunu Sotan Tlachido. Good afternoon, everybody. Kuchanki Nika Silverfox Young Uji Danki Eju Iji Hunling Egune H E Kwanlin Yunin G Ine Ianla Tageto Hudansen H E Ine Debbie Silverfox Uji and Sua Sally Blackjack Uji and Sia Peter Silverfox Senior Uji and Sia Ianla Seke Nukne Hudansen H E Ite Finton Young Uji Ite ian la Newfoundland sen echi. They might e dal chi. Tage cho e tage chi. So hi everyone. My name is Nika Silverfox Young. I don't have a traditional name yet. I am Wolf Clan. I'm born and raised in Kwanlin Dun Territory and Ta'an Kwachan, also known as Whitehorse Yukon. My mom's family comes from Little Sam and Carmack's First Nations, and my dad's family comes from Newfoundland, Canada. My mountain is Grey Mountain, and my river is Yukon River.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Debbie Silverfox, and I would love to introduce myself in my native language, but I unfortunately can't let it flow like Nika does. Mm. And she's teaching me how to introduce myself in our native language, but right now it's just, I just feel a little bit shy about it. And I'm from Whitehorse, Yukon. I was born in Whitehorse. Grew up in Carmax, but then I also attended residential schools, so I was blocked from the language. And my mom passed away when I was 25 years old, so I didn't really have the connection, and I never knew my grandparents, so it was very sad. And when last year we had a ceremony for my grandma, she was buried at St. Albert for 72 years, and we found her and put a gravestone on her grave, and it felt like I reconnected to my family, and I think that was the first time that I felt decolonized, and I feel like I'm so colonized that I want to find me, and I'm really appreciative to be going to this conference.
Thank you for that introduction, and for our listeners, we had invited Nika to sit in on this first episode, and then we met her mom, and you know, she shared a little bit about who she was, and I thought that it would be a really beautiful opportunity to have mom join Nika in this podcast. And I think that, you know, it's beautiful to hear you talk about, you know, here is Nika introducing herself in the language. And then it's something that impacted you being an Indian residential school survivor. And so being able to learn through your daughter is really beautiful, and you can see and you can feel the connection and the relationship that you both have. So Nika, what do you do?
Ooh, okay, that's a tough question. I wear many hats, but probably not good at all of them, but I like doing it. I like to think first and foremost, I'm a helper, not a leader. I like helping people find out who they are. Past few years, I've been learning my indigenous language of Northern Shoshone, also known as Danki, with my great aunt. So in our way, we call her grandma. She gets mad if I say auntie. She's like, I'm not auntie, I'm grandma. So I've been learning Danki with my grandma Lizzie the past few years. I was going to school for Northern Conservation and Environmental Sciences at the Yukon University in Whitehorse, Yukon. But Yeah, I was just having a really hard time with it. The colonial structures, the weird Western curriculum was really hard. That's one of my favorite acronyms, WEIRD, being Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. So we live in a weird world. But I didn't fit it. I really was having a really hard time with that, and I pushed back a lot. In the Yukon, we're facing an extreme crisis with the loss of our salmon right now, and I wanted to step up and start speaking for my salmon. And so I thought, well, I'll go to school, I'll go for conservation and environmental sciences. But the things they were teaching me was like not useful at all. It did not help me. You know, they would tell me like, this is the parts of a fish, but I was like, well, what's the relationship behind it? Like, what does that really mean? And they weren't able to really answer my questions. So after failing a few programs or failing a few courses, I decided that I need to reconnect. So I started wanting to learn my indigenous language. And that's been probably the best learning journey for me in my life. There's just so much rich culture behind our languages. I like to think of English as like a really extractive, dead language. There is no life behind it versus in my language, one word, if we break the root down, there's like multiple stories behind there. We're able to actually tell a whole story. And my people were matrilineal. So my family were Wolf Clan. All my grandmas are Wolf. We tell through oral histories and by doing. And so learning culture has just given me everything that I wanted in school, learning language with grandma. I've also been, the past few years, I've been learning the ancestral art of fish skin tanning into leather. So that's been really, really incredible. I've been learning through a local elder named Cheryl McLean. We also, one of our teachers is June Pardue out of Alaska. I believe she's an IAC elder. And also, shout out to Instagram, through Janie Chang. She's been an absolute gem of a woman. She goes into northern communities and gives back the ancestral art of fish skin tanning. And so when I first picked up a skin with Cheryl, I could feel like blood memories coming alive. Like I could know, like it's just, I would hold my scraper and I knew exactly what I was doing, versus I've never done it before. It just was like, boom, there it is. And so I really wanted to learn more about my salmon. And I asked Grandma, I was like, Grandma, I want to do fish skin tanning in language. She's like, you want to do what with skins? And I was like, Grandma, I want to tan skins. And she just could not understand what I was asking until I brought it to her. The second she's touched my skins, she was able to remember all this incredible ancestral knowledge. She was able to know that our people, we were really reliant on dog teams, and we used to make backpacks for our dogs because they're so low to the ground. If you know the correct sewing skills, which I'm still learning, you can make essentially waterproof clothing and waterproof items. So if you also know the correct way on how to skin your fish, you're able to get the cross fibers and create their own sinew, which is really incredible. So everything, every gift we need from our salmon is right there. I just feel so much more comfortable with my fish skins. I have like a deep relationship with them. I know each of them by feel, by smell. It really is like blood memories come alive. And so when I told Grandma about this, she was able to recall all these ancestral stories, and we were able to start learning a lot more about our relationships with fish and our salmon kin than anything I was ever taught in school. I almost feel kind of bad. I need to like apologize to my First Nations to be like, sorry, you wasted all that money on me for Western education when like everything I ever needed and more was with my community and my culture and my land and languages. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing the last few years. I took an art program, the Yukon First Nations traditional art program at the Yukon University, where I learned the ancestral skills. And one of the final project we had to do was create wearable art. So we could either create five small pieces or one large. And I decided to make a fish skin shawl with Grandma. So I did a lot of my skins in language with Grandma. It was called the MAP program, the Mentor Apprenticeship Program. So we had to do about 100 hours in Northern Shoshone to do it. And so we could do whatever we wanted, and I chose fish skins, which felt really incredible. So I was able to teach her about it, and she taught me way more than than I taught her, but it was really incredible. And so I'm wearing my shawl today. It brings me comfort whenever I put it on. The familiar weight is like all my ancestors behind me giving me a hug and telling me what I'm supposed to speak. I have some beautiful beadwork I did on the back that are king salmon and chum or dog salmon. And so these are both on pieces that are home tan, and so they have that rich, smoky smell. And I also have some little shoulder pieces that are home tan as well. So they have abalone shells, and there's 14 of them. So in the Yukon, we have 14 First Nations, so 14 for them. But 14 divided by 2, 7. So I'm thinking 7 generations ahead as well. I decided to edge them in orange to represent one of my favorite parts of a fish, which is their delicious eggs. So it makes me think of that. And I also have some gold beads in there as well to represent the gold rush history of when we were first colonized by Kutchans, which means white people. Fun little story about Kutchan. Kind of means, like, you know, as far as you can see, the clouds right there. Well, a little bit further. That's where that word comes from. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say that again.
Kutchan.
The meaning again?
Oh, Kutchan. Oh, yeah. So it's like when you look really far away and you see those clouds on the horizon, and you look a little bit further, that's what it means. My dialect, we say Kutchan, but you can also say Gutchan with a G. I've been teaching my indigenous language to not only my mom, but as well as community members. And when I teach, I just tell them whatever feels most comfortable in your mouth. So for me, it's the K word, the kutch, versus other people, they feel more comfortable with the gutchan. So I really believe when I'm teaching my indigenous language, I don't correct. I just let them feel what's most natural. It's a lot of fun. It's really fun. I really love teaching kids. They're much more gentle on me than adults on learning language. Our language has kind of been stuck the past about 40 years in a curriculum hiccup. And there's like dialect wars, but I just, you know, when I'm speaking, when I'm teaching, I'm like, well, if you understand me, that's the main point. And so, yeah, it's been probably the best thing I've been doing the past few years, learning my language and doing my fish skins. I know who I am. I feel that's really important for myself.
You just said something. You said a lot of really incredible things that it was really beautiful to listen to both of you. You said something about language being stuck. And I know that was maybe a curriculum-based comment. Is that where you're coming from? But I honestly think about how when I think of me speaking my language, I feel a sense of stuckness. But it's not, it feels here, like it's in the throat, mm-hmm. or it's in the body where it feels stuck. And I think about how that stuckness was created mm-hmm. in Indian residential schools and our parents.
Yes, my mom could understand the language, but she couldn't speak it because she went to residential school at Girard, Alberta. And she was so far away from home. And my dad, he could understand and speak it, but he never spoke it to us because he said that if he taught it to us, we went back to the residential school, that we would get beaten by the nuns. And I went to Laura Post residential school, which was like 600 kilometers away from our home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we didn't go home for Christmas. We would have to stay there, and it was the last year we went home for Christmas, and then we moved to another residential school in Whitehorse, which was about 100 miles away from home. But every time we came back, I feared the elders, because every time they spoke to us in our native language, like we'd just look at them and didn't understand a word they were saying, and then they would get upset with us. Mm-hmm. And I always had that guilt of not, I wanted to learn, but I didn't want to learn either. Mm-hmm. And I had a tape and I would listen to it, and all we did was laugh because the words were sounded so funny. But then when Nika started teaching me, it just felt like it was much easier to learn. Like, Nene Ning Jay means I'll see you again. And she's teaching me the words, and it just makes me feel proud of myself for learning from my daughter.
And then how that also, the relationship between you two. And can you talk about that, about the relationship in learning the language together or relearning the language? How has that impacted your relationship?
It's enriched it. I feel closer to her, and I feel so proud of her for becoming the beautiful young woman that she is. And it just makes me feel so much love for the language that I want to learn.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Iketsidli. Yeah. Iketsidli ine. I love you, Mom. One of the first things I learned was how to say I'm picking berries, which is Jiknitsi each in. So in the Yukon, we're really, really fortunate because we have land claims. So we are 14 First Nations. 11 of us are self-signed. So that means we have our own land claims agreements. We have our own government systems. We have our own constitutions, which that means our constitutions are on par with the Canadian government constitutions. They can't touch our stuff. We can't touch theirs. So in our traditional territory, we have our own allotted lands. So about 50 years ago in 1973, the 14 chiefs, they went down to Ottawa to talk to Pierre Trudeau, and they created something called Together Today for Our Children Tomorrow. So this is a land, like an incredible, incredible, huge document that just set forward for the umbrella final agreements, which just allows us to be self-governing and self-constitutional. So before I was born, Mom picked a little piece of land out on, it's called Little Fox Lake. It's about an hour north of where we live. It's in between our hometown of Whitehorse and in between our traditional territory of Carmax. Beautiful little spot, but it's full of cranberries. And so we'd go out there and we'd zhiknitsi each in. We'd pick cranberries together. And so picking that cranberries, it really was like healing medicine. I really wanted Mom to reconnect to the language and land as much as I was doing. So me and my ex-partner, we built a road out for her to access the land. And we built a little cabin, a little insulated wall tent, so we can go out there and pick berries to our heart's delight as much as we want. I really truly believe being on the land gives us everything we need. Our land is our life, and so being out there really, really truly shows it. Everything that you ever have or going through, you can give it to the land and she can take it. And so I really wanted Mom to be able to experience that as much as possible. There's just so much fear of going back to the land. I think as Indigenous women, it can be quite nerve-wracking. Even for myself, it was very hard. But being out on the land, like, I know who I am. Like, my language flows so much more freely than in any caged environment. Four walls is so hard for me to, like, think, to switch my donkey brain on. When I'm learning language, I have to spend about 15 minutes of just strict language before I can even start to begin that shift to learn language. Versus out on the land, it just flows so much easily. I noticed this with my brother's little girl. She also, like, just blood memories. Like, we'll be picking berries or harvesting flowers, and she'll tell me something, and I'm like, "Where did you learn that?" And like, "Did your mom teach you, or, you know, who taught you that?" She's like, "Oh, I just know." And I'm like, "Oh my God, okay. So really starting to believe a lot more in that good medicine. When you're out on the land, it just gives you everything you need. She just asks that we take care of her.
Thank you for that. No, thank you. It's really beautiful to watch both of you and to witness and feel love and this relationship that you both have, as well as what you created, and so what you're wearing, Nika, is really beautiful as well, and the story that it tells in itself. And so as we are wrapping up, I want to give you both an opportunity to share with our listeners anything that you think is important for our listeners to hear from both of you.
Okay, I think that you're never too old to learn your language, and I'm going to be 65 years old this year. And so I'm really looking forward to learning more words. And I just love going on the land and finding, reconnecting back to myself and reconnecting back to my mom and reconnecting back to my grandma. I feel that I belong now, because before I didn't feel that I had a place. I was just constantly, I was a dental therapist, and I retired in 2015. So I started beading and stuff and learning my tradition. I'm really happy with myself for doing that.
Yeah, I would have to probably touch as well on reconnection. Reconnection is key. Reconnection is climate action. So I was a part of a group called the Yukon First Nations Climate Action Fellowship. We don't like the word fellowship. It has just such gross connotations called the church. We call ourselves the Children of Tomorrow because we are the children of tomorrow, of the Together Today for Our Children Tomorrow. So in February 2020, Yukon First Nations signed a climate change emergency declaration that called for the creation of a Yukon First Nations climate vision and action plan. Yukon First Nations leadership declared that this plan should be youth-led, as it is their future at stake and they will inherit the decisions made now. In response, the Yukon First Nations Climate Action Fellowship was created, and I was one of 13 young people from throughout the Yukon and northern British Columbia who were part of the inaugural cohort. Through the course of the two-year fellowship, we explored our cultures and identities, learning online, in gatherings, and on the land from each other, local elders, and local and international knowledge keepers, as we explored climate change through our Yukon First Nations ways of knowing, doing, and being. With support from a steering committee, we created Reconnection Vision as the Yukon First Nations approach to climate action. It is an offering to continue the journey of Together Today for Our Children Tomorrow. Reconnection Vision is our pathway for change, where reconnection transforms the ways we live, learn, and work through being in a good relationship with ourselves, each other, and the land. If you just Google Reconnection Vision, you'll see our big, beautiful website. It's not really mobile friendly yet. You should sit with it on a laptop. And that's all we ask at whatever time feels best for you, in the morning, in the evening, afternoon. Just go for a walk outside, look at something green, look at something beautiful, and then sit down and go through our journey of where we go through. We really like to do things very different. We like to slow down. There's some really, really incredible teachings and seeds in there. And I'll just leave it off on maybe a little poem here for you guys that we did about our reconnection seeds. So first, we must heal ourselves and become whole. To work together in relationship, in nurturing safe space to re-educate, as we slow down and cycle in ceremony, so we may listen to the land and water, to reclaim and uphold our culture. From here, we stop planning and start doing. We center our communities to lead, own, drive, and in trust, we take risks and share power and grow as true leaders from the North.
Perfect way to end. Thank you both. Thank you so much for sharing your love and your stories with us.
Thank you for having us.
Masicho, nie sonitan, soksin ling. Thank you, thank you.
Two Crees in a pod.
Two Crees in a pod.
Two Crees in a pod.
Natani means.
Yeah.
Let's go.
They pushed us to this point, frustrations of a common man. Manifested destiny, preaching, pledged the promised land. I'm stuck between taking my journey, live with no honor. Like what's the use if my kids can't taste clean water? A child born into a world, revolution's not a choice. Fighting to be heard so we make them hear our voice. Remember ancestors' anguish, lightning in our veins. hear it in a language when they're kishin for the rain. I am product of people that persevere persecution. Paint me so creator sees me if I go out shooting. Experience our pain when our women disappear daily. Anxious to be angry, pacifists might hate me. Trolls on the internet constantly trying to bait me. We move in silence, cover of the night, learning from the wolves in the forest, tracking enemies in the woods. Reincarnations of warriors riding for salvation, or are we false prophets when we submit to temptation? Colonization is a hell of a drug. We all seem to go crazy when we fall in love. I said colonization is a hell of a drug. We all seem to go crazy when we fall in love. I said
Two Crees in a Pod.